nehmen wir eine kleine Hühnerei. Nun das Wetter.
Oh, ist das lecker.
Küchenfunk. Herzlich willkommen zur 79. Folge des Küchenfunks. Mein Name ist Christian von Küchenjunge.com und ich zeige euch endlich mein Mitbringsel aus Neuseeland. Nun in akustischer Form. Ich habe ein Interview geführt mit einem Chefkoch, und zwar mit Leighton Ashley aus dem Terroir-Restaurant auf der Craggy Range. Das ist ein Weingut in Hawke's Bay, ungefähr Ostküste der Nordinsel. Und es ist ein fantastisches Restaurant, wo es einfach darum ging, dass man Zutaten selbst erstellt, die man im Restaurant benutzt. Also ich habe da viel drüber nachgedacht im Bereich Fleisch, dass man da was macht und Besonderes extra für sich erstellen lässt. Hier war ein Ansatz ein komplett anderer. Es ging also darum, alles, was an Gemüse gebraucht wird, selbst anzubauen. Und auch das ganze Menü, was er in seinem Restaurant kocht, komplett dem Garten zu unterwerfen. Und ja, ich bin mit ihm eine Dreiviertelstunde durch den Garten gelaufen. Er hat mir viel gezeigt, viel erzählt, worauf es ihm ankommt. Ist fantastischer, kreativer Kopf mit wundervollen Gedanken. Das Interview ist in Englisch und ich mache auch ein paar Fotos zwischendrin. Ihr werdet bei mir im Blog die ganzen Fotos dazu finden können. Ich wünsche euch ganz viel Spaß.
Okay, yeah, so I'm Leighton Ashley, the head chef here at Terroir of Craggy Range Winery. I've been here about 7 years, or life sentence, some people call it. And yeah, we're about to see why. I'll show you around the garden and show you our Terroir here.
Wonderful.
So firstly, outside the back cellar door here, we've got, about 10 beds of garden beds of all just really good selection of herbs. Mainly just herbs and herb flowers that we're picking at all day long from the kitchen. So
yeah.
The chefs are running in and out of the kitchen and, try and keep them all looking pretty at the same time, but just sort of tipping everything.
Yeah.
So we have a beautiful selection out here, and a lot of this might just be garnish or just finishing things at the end, or, you know, we use everything. The flowers from the herbs often will turn into a sorbet or something. Got the citrus trees dotted around, so lemons and limes, which will come on in another month or so, and even the shelter belt hedge here, we've got bay leaf, so it goes in all our stocks and sauces and all those sorts of things. Also a few fruit trees dotted around. You'll see crab apples behind the cottages. We have some quinces, there's some walnut trees in the far garden, olive trees, persimmons come on in a couple more months. So a nice big selection of,
I think so,
of things to play with. And we get a little bit quieter come autumn. So we, you know, we start preserving and making the most of all the fruit trees and the abundance of produce, if you like, that's around in the area.
Yeah.
It's Hawke's Bay. You might know about Hawke's Bay. It's kind of considered the fruit bowl.
Yeah.
Of New Zealand. So mainly apples and pears. And not so, you know, not so much of the exciting fruit, but we're getting there. There's heaps of really cool boutique growers and suppliers popping up and growing all sorts of cool stuff.
Yeah.
Which is great for us.
It's a little special New Zealand, sorts of apples.
We do a really good variety.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm always quite partial to the Granny Smiths, but, we really cover everything with apples, that's for sure. Yeah, tons and tons. So they're all coming on now.
Yeah.
And pears as well.
Yeah.
Sort of right behind. And we're just sort of at the end of our stone fruit, or sort of right in the middle of some of it, but finishing some of the earlier ones. So, huge amount of stone fruit around. We're just going into all the plums now and a few other nice things, beautiful white peaches and golden queens and all sorts of stuff around. So great climate for all those fruits, and a lot of New Zealand and all over the world gets our fruit from Hawke's Bay.
Yeah.
So just you know, a good example of the climate here. It's perfect for growing a lot of those things.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes it, makes it good for a chef as well.
Yeah, I think
so. Just be right in the middle of that. Yeah, same as the grapes, I suppose. pretty damn good grape growing place too.
Yeah.
So we'll go for a wander to the big garden.
Yeah?
Yep. This is just my herb garden. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And you do lots of fruits, excluding the dessert? So in the entrees or main dishes, or you experiment with that?
With dessert?
No, with the fruits in, not in dessert.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, with our savory items. So, what have we got at the moment? We've got a beautiful New Zealand duck breast, and we sort of sous vide that and serve it with nectarines.
Yeah.
Which is sort of perfect right now. And obviously being a winery, we just caramelize them a little bit to make them slightly savory and then pour some wine and brown sugar and just get a nice rich sort of white wine caramel.
Very good.
Bit of licorice in there. So we'll come out to the big garden twice a day, the chefs, whoever's got time. Sometimes it's a bit of a paper, scissors, rock, who's gonna go to the garden. But when you've got enough time, it's, you know, it's the job you want. It's the best part of your day, and you,
I think so.
You want to come for a walk and
fresh air.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's a nice contrast from the kitchen, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So we just walked through our olive trees. So we have another 500 olive trees at Gimblet Gravels, where we make a lot of our red wine.
Yeah.
Which isn't far away, a 20 minutes drive. So we make our own olive oil with that, and it's a beautiful, very bitter, strong, full-flavoured extra virgin oil.
You also use the olives pure? For something?
No, we haven't. We haven't sort of played with that yet. And there's some really good local oliveries, they call them. So we sort of just use those guys for the olives.
Yeah.
And we don't have a lot of olives on the menu, but occasionally we'll use them. But it might be something we need to get into, yeah. There's no shortage of things to play with, that's for sure.
Yeah. And how long has this garden been growing?
This was put in from the start of Te Wā, so this was here about 11 years ago. Sort of started off. Same as the restaurant. So it's my happy place out here. Yeah, so I came here, my first day here, I was applying for the sous chef position. And we're picking salad and herbs and lettuces, and took it back to the kitchen, washed it, serving it an hour later. And I was like, wow, this is real Te Wā. These guys are actually doing it. They're not just
talking about
using fresh local produce, which, you know, just that whole term I'm so sick of. But this is quite real here, and that relationship with the soil and the climate and the hands-on touch on everything that we're doing.
Yeah.
Makes it kind of personal, picking your own food before you prepare it.
And, yeah.
So it's a huge asset and, yeah, a great resource.
Yeah.
And it keeps all the young chefs in tune with the seasons who otherwise can't quite understand that stuff. You know, sometimes that takes years, especially if everything comes in a bag or a box.
Yeah.
So it's just really good in keeping us in tune with what we're doing.
It's the same with Christmas. We want asparagus. So yeah. it's not the time for asparagus, but you can buy it, and people buy it, and it's not.
Yeah, I mean, the tomatoes are rubbish for 9 months of the year, you know, but people buy them
the whole year,
and people keep growing them, and you know, under a roof. So it's great for that. It just keeps us,
yeah,
keeps us honest and So we used to try and plan the garden. We've got a really great little garden team. We used to sit down and, you know, have meetings about how we could make the garden, keep up with our, with the menu I was planning.
Yep.
So we'd have to try and stay 3 months ahead all the time and try and get the right quantities of everything to come on at the right time to do a menu change. Or so obviously the chaos of nature and the garden and the seasons, it didn't work, and we gave up, you know, and decided to just plant whatever likes to grow when it likes to grow. And now we come out here for inspiration, as opposed to making it, trying to work with the menu. We come out here to write it.
Yeah.
So we just look around for inspiration and,
okay,
and find what's going really well, what looks amazing. And we sort of try and utilize it on the menu, and the garden kind of writes it for us in a way.
Yeah, I think
obviously
so.
Obviously the whole ethos is kind of picking the best local proteins and seafood from the region over New Zealand. And from there, we sort of pair up what we've got in the garden and mix and match and try and make the most of that, and sort of end up coming up with a menu.
Nice.
Just using those.
It's a nice way.
Yeah. So we have our heirloom tomatoes. They're just about to all colour up and come on. We'll have a look if you like. It's been a fairly good tomato season, so about 12 varieties in here.
Okay.
And I can't name them all off the top of my head, but we're, you know, every season we sort of try and mix it up and try some new stuff. There's some particularly good ones. I have got it written down. But until they fully colour up, it's quite hard to actually tell. But yeah, you can see a few splashes of colour in there. So all our produce is sourced from about 15 minutes, from about 15 minutes down the road. Great lady called Jo Duff, and she runs a farm called Kaihikatea Farm, which is certified organic. So everything we put in here, we know exactly where it's come from, right back to a seed or a seedling, which is another element, I think, which just gives us an edge. And, you know, you know that it hasn't been genetically modified or any of those concerns that a lot of people have these days.
Yeah.
So very, very natural process. We're not certified organic. We're a bit too close to the grapes, which sometimes need spraying for certain things. But we do occasionally, we only ever spray for insects on the vegetable garden with really, really nice chemicals, if you like. So just citrus sprays and things like that. No coppers, no heavy metals go on, no insecticides. The other great thing about Jo is she's very well known in the area for her permaculture. So the interplanting to keep the bugs off naturally. So for example, the marigolds with the tomatoes. We've got garlic and chives next to our brassicas and things like that, so the stench of the onion flowers and the chive flowers are helping to keep the butterflies away from your kale, and all those little tips that she's brought to us has been really great too. So before that, we sort of had everything perfectly lined up in rows, and it looked great, but it wasn't as healthy as it could be, and it struggled a bit more. So much more rambling now, and a lot happier, better produce. And so yeah, we're still learning, and there's a lot to know on the horticulture side, but it's really cool for us to start knowing some of that as well as just what to do with it once it's ready. Cause that's the big picture.
Yeah. I never had to try it with a garden. Last year we raised our own pig at the farm.
Yep.
And, butchered it. And this was a great experience, but I never think about it to do it with in the garden, and it's
veggies.
Yeah, it's the same.
Yeah, it is.
You know where it come from and how it raised.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
really nice.
Know what it's eaten.
Yeah,
everything. Yeah. So I got a little chili plant and quite a good mixture. I'll grab a few things while we're here.
So. Yeah.
The bookings have gone up tonight. So. just behind the shoutabout here we have, and over the fence, you can have a look if you like, we have a beehive.
A what?
A beehive. So we have all our own honey as well.
Ah, okay.
So the bees obviously work in great harmony with the garden as well and all the flowers and so it's mainly a clover. The strongest flavour is clover in the honey, but it's a very good honey. It's probably like, and I'm not just being biased, but it's better than some of the local stuff which is very well known and very well received. I think ours can compete with that, and I don't know if it's, again, it might just be the terroir here, and you know, it's a special place, and I've got this garden to play in.
And what do you think about the New Zealand cuisine? I was a little bit shocked. I never had an idea of what it's about, and then we came to Auckland and see all the fast food thing, and it was. It's England. That was the first what came to my mind. Oh,
okay.
But, what do you think about it?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're seriously catching up to the rest of the world, if not, you know, maybe starting to be some of the best in the world.
Yeah.
Just a lot of it due to our resources here, you know, we're all surrounded by ocean and we've got these, you know, beautiful grass growing areas and climate. We can grow grass 12 months a year. So you've got these beautiful feeds for your, to grow whatever stock you need to really. So you got the best beef, the best lamb, the best venison. And it's all happy all year round.
Yeah.
And, in a very natural way too.
Yes. Yes.
So I think in a produce sense, we're almost leading the way.
Yeah. Really?
Or people are jealous.
Yeah, I think
in other countries, but you know, you can't change your climate, and we're just very blessed with ours. And you know, the fact that there is still enough land around to do that for the farmers.
Yeah,
we can spread out a bit. And
this was so confusing for me because of that. You have so good products, and then you have this immense fast food.
Yeah, you saw restaurants in Auckland. Yeah. They have some amazing restaurants there too.
Yeah, I know. We see them. Yeah. But the people are running so much to the fast food restaurants. Oh, yeah. I don't understand. With this great product, I don't understand it.
Yeah. I think it's the same in a lot of countries, isn't it? That you have to want to eat healthy or be interested.
Yeah.
You know, it's harder to eat healthier.
Yeah.
Than it is to eat anything else.
Yeah.
But hopefully, you know, we'll see a shift eventually.
Yeah. Why? Do you think it will come?
I don't know. I mean, I don't expect everyone to feel like I do with growing your own produce and feeding yourself like that, but I just hope it catches on a bit more or it becomes a bit more mainstream.
Yeah.
People realize the benefits.
Yeah.
And I suppose, it's a big shift. It's a big change to make.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, at the same time, everyone's busier and busier. So convenience food wins every time. And New Zealand, you know, we are workaholics here. we all work hard.
Yeah.
So we're just the same as everywhere else, and they just want something quick.
Quick, yeah.
Yeah, whatever works.
Yeah.
Probably, whatever's healthy comes second to that.
Yeah.
A lot of the time. Yeah.
Maybe one
what's it like in Germany? You from Germany?
Yeah. We have the moment we have big problems with, the production of beef, and that everyone wants, clean beef, but we need so much and we can't produce as you could here with so much grassland.
Yeah.
And also problems with the genetic thing with the vegetables. And right. Yeah, it's difficult too. I mean, we have, at the moment, we have many cooks in the TV, and people want to cook, get more, but you have also much people that eat the fast food, and yeah, it's, yeah. But at the moment, it's a good time. It's getting better.
Okay.
What's
this?
Do
you know what this is?
No.
Try and get one out for you. I need a spade, really, but I'll try and get one. You can probably smell it already. Yeah, once it's in the ground, it never comes out.
It's, oh yeah, what's the name in English?
Horseradish?
Horseradish, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's very, vigorous grower, so it just tunnels right down like a wisdom tooth and just hooks in and you can never get it out, so, which is good.
Yeah.
So, we play with this, we make a lovely sorbet with that.
Sorbet?
Yeah.
For, not for a dessert or?
No, for an entree.
Oh.
So you're in for dinner, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we do a forage dish, it's called a forage, but it's based on just what we can source around here. So if you want to try it, you can try that. But it's a good snapshot of any given day in the garden.
Yeah.
Sort of on a plate. Totally vegetarian. Just everything we can find that kind of works together to make something, and it keeps it playful like that.
What do you call it?
Forage.
Forage.
Yeah. You know the big forage movement?
No.
Yeah. So everyone's foraging for food, chefs particularly.
Ah, okay.
So, you know, you have people walking the railway tracks to find their wild fennel. Like we just picked in all sorts of people, going off the track for things and trying to find their own resources, if you like.
Yeah.
So it's kind of us running around here, grabbing all the great resources and playing with them, and it's different every day, and it's hopefully a good snapshot of each day in the garden, because it changes so quickly. So it's become a bit of a signature, but my chefs hate it because it's a hard one to plate up. Many, many steps, usually.
You have a signature dish?
Yeah, well, that's kind of one.
Okay, but it variates.
Yeah,
every
it's always
week.
Different. The pork rack's another great one. So we do a pork rack for two.
Yeah, it's a really
nice big local pork rack, and takes about 50 minutes, but this is great and carved at the table. Apple jelly and very classic kind of condiments. Do a potato and pancetta cream, and some stone fruit at the moment. Some roasted stone fruit, so. If you like pork, that's a good one.
I love pork, yeah.
Yeah, that's probably our signature, because we tried to take it off a couple of times and people ring up and ask. Do you know what these are?
Can I have you? Oh.
Got it. Oh. Not sure what you call them, but maybe sunchokes, or we call them Jerusalem artichokes.
Which chokes?
Jerusalem artichoke.
Jerusalem artichoke.
So they grow a bit bigger. These are quite young, but they're beautiful. Taste a bit like an artichoke, but they're a different family.
Okay.
So they're obviously an ugly little tuber, but beautiful flavour. Really nutty and...
Okay.
Fantastic. They go with fish, pork, beef. Venison, just about anything.
You peel them? Or you?
Yeah, when their skin's quite young like this, you can eat them, just give them a scrub.
Yeah.
So you could roast them great for purees and soups and
okay.
all sorts. But they're beautiful and they'll flower soon, so they're probably still a month or so away. But we can't help ourselves, we usually get into them a bit early. But they will flower and look like a sunflower.
Yeah.
And like the miniature one. And the flowers are one of the great examples of when a flower tastes just like the fruit or the
That's not
tuber in this case.
Topinambur, is it not?
The flower petals taste just like this.
Yeah.
To eat. Which is quite nice.
But it's don't know if it's the name Topinambur. It's another. It looks a little bit, I don't know if it's a German word. Topinambur?
I haven't heard that one.
Maybe. It looks a little bit like that.
Okay.
And it's also a sort of sunflower, sort of.
Yeah.
And you eat.
That might be, eh? Might be the same thing. I haven't heard that word.
Is this good for when you have diabetes?
Ah.
It lowers the...
They are very...
I don't know.
I know that they can create, they call them fartichokes. They make you fart.
Yeah, so I think it's W number.
Same one.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
It might be the same, huh?
Yeah.
If you eat too many.
Yeah. We try to make chips out of it.
Yeah.
Make fry them.
Chips.
Yeah.
Yeah. Might be the same, eh? So that's the globe artichokes, the big purple flowers. You'd know those.
Yeah.
So this is all edible flower garden, but it's just been replanted. So often we'll come out here and it's just like a rainbow of color and everything's edible. All the different flowers. Of calendula and dianthus, nasturtium, borage, blue borage. Yeah, that's the main ones, and chrysanthemum. So it's quite a good little resource too.
Lovely, really lovely.
Yeah, so beehives.
Yeah.
And some walnut trees down the side there.
You make them here also the black walnut?
Yeah, I actually at home I do. It just takes a long time.
Yeah, I know.
It's a bit fiddly. So it's just, yeah, a bit safer to do at home, that one. And just sort of play around with it, but we certainly use them.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they're great. So we generally just keep these for shelling. We've just missed the part where you take them off for pickling.
Yeah. Yeah.
They've just started to form their shells and they'll come off in about March. End of March, somewhere around the end of March, they start coming off. Yeah. So we use a lot of walnuts.
Yeah.
They're great. Yeah. We candy them. They're on the forage as well.
And do you have a nice dish with kiwi?
Kiwi fruit? No, I stay away from it, to be honest.
Why?
I'm not a huge fan. There's a couple of things I don't, you know. I did do, there's these really cool mini ones. They're called kiwi berries.
I see them in the supermarket,
yeah. Yeah, they're quite nice, and we did a play on a really traditional New Zealand dessert, pavlova.
Okay, what is it?
A pavlova is like a slow-cooked meringue, a big meringue cake. It's a bit gooey in the middle and nice, soft, crunchy meringue on the outside.
Okay.
Traditionally at everyone's Christmas table with heaps of whipped cream and fresh berries and...
Okay.
And kiwi fruit slices all over it. So we sort of played with that once a while ago for a dessert, but just not a huge fan. Yeah.
The taste, or you, it's too mainstream? Everybody want to have it in New Zealand?
Kiwi fruit. I don't know. I'd use it on a dessert. I can't see it being used too much on the savory side. But you never know. Maybe something will come up.
It was a little bit my challenge when I'm here to do a little bit more with the kiwi.
Okay. Oh, sorry, I'm not very helpful.
No, it's
But that could be a good one. Okay. Do a pavlova thing.
Yeah. I tried it with
traditional kiwi.
Yesterday I made an entree with it, with cucumber and chili and ginger.
Oh wow.
And only like a caprese, like a tomato and mozzarella. Put it beside, and then I diced the chili and the ginger very thin.
Yeah.
And then I put olive oil over it and a lime. You can roast it, or you cut it off, or you in the pan, and the juice over it, and a little bit salt. It was nice.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So we often have just watch your step down here. It's a bit slippery. This is kind of a wet garden.
Yeah.
So it's great to have for mint. So we've got a few types of mint there and watercress. So see if I can find some, but it looks like it's all been washed out. When we get a big rain, it all gets washed away.
Yeah.
So we sort of wait for it to come back up. But the mint's incredible. Very happy down here. So we have a lovely mint.
Yeah.
There's always some, and it will take off again and grow, but it's just lovely. So the baby watercress, when it's young like this, it's not bitter at all. Have you had much watercress?
No.
But you can try it. Just a really lovely pepper to add to a lot of things. So it grows everywhere. Everywhere there's a bit of water. It just grows, so it's in all the culverts along the side of the road and things, but you never quite know how it's been treated. So we try to stay away from the side of the road foraging, just in case it, you know, the council sometimes spray everything.
Yeah.
So we're careful when we forage, we're not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't take too many risks, but usually have that somewhere on the menu, that one.
And you also have potatoes?
No, we don't bother growing any potatoes, carrots, onions, just because it's a waste of space.
Okay.
You know, so we could fill the whole garden with onions and still run out in 2 weeks.
Yeah, okay.
Once they were harvested.
Yeah.
So it makes no sense to get those really staple things from ourselves and take up that space. So we just try and stick to the more interesting produce, slightly unique or a bit more special. Stuff you want to show off, you know.
But you
on
had
the plate as opposed to the potato a little bit.
But you had on the menu there's a special potato fried thing?
Yeah, tiwa fried, that's what I mean. So if we planted all of that in potatoes, those fries, we'd sell in 2 weeks, we would have sold all the potatoes in the garden.
Yeah. And why it's called tiwa potatoes?
It's just one of those classic staples that went on at the very start, and it stayed and very popular.
Yeah.
So roasted garlic, good agria potatoes just done in the deep fryer, but yummy chips. And rosemary, which you'll see the hedges everywhere.
Yeah.
So we just utilize that, and that just gets fried as well. Goes on top.
That's so really good.
Just good fries, you know.
Yeah.
But, hey, we're in New Zealand, so everyone likes fries.
Yeah.
That's our lovely lake.
Is it the name?
The name.
From the lake?
Ooh.
No name.
No name.
How are you doing the wine and the food? mix? You do it yourself, or you have a sommelier do it?
No, we're bringing the winemaker in a lot for that. So Matt Stafford will come in and we'll sit down and go over what I'm thinking about doing on the menu.
Yeah.
And he will talk about what wines he wants to showcase and what we want to see in the restaurant. And we sort of get together and he'll often be at the tastings. So he'll tell us, you know, his honest and very valuable opinion of what works and what doesn't, or if we can pull something back or push something out there. Which is priceless, you know. So that advice is really, really cool.
Yeah.
And sometimes we nail it exactly the first time. And we just get it right. There's a wine that just works perfectly with the dish. And another time we think it'll be right and it's way off and we have to relook at it.
Yeah.
Obviously we can't change the wine. So
I usually
get a bit flexible there. But no, it's very much, open forum at that stage. We're foremost a winery. So we always remember that and try and make that work first. Which is cool, which is nice, you know. So yeah, I don't have any ego or anything that confuses anything there. We're a winery. It's about that whole experience. It's really important.
Yeah. But you have the garden and you have so much to play with, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I've been here so long.
Yeah. I read about it, yeah.
Yeah.
You was impressed when you come the first time here.
Yeah.
And you see the garden and you want to be chef at the beginning? When you come here as sous chef, you have the aim to do it as chef?
Yeah, no, it just has something special about it, you know. It's a great place to come to work, obviously, every day, and it's things like the garden and the wine and the people that just put me in and kept me here.
Yeah.
So, it's just one of those places, I guess. I didn't think I'd stay anywhere that long, but it is special.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. So, anyway, should we get back?
Yeah.
Must be close to service, isn't it?
When you start with service, 7?
Six.
Six.
You guys are in at 6, eh? Your table at 6, or?
I don't know. We do now a little tasting, and then further.
Just after 6, yeah. So where else have you been in New Zealand?
In Auckland?
Eating in restaurants.
We've been not to so many restaurants. It was, we spent time in hostels, so we cooked our own.
Okay.
Yeah. A little bit, we went to Auckland, Taupo.
Oh yeah.
Malanga.
And Hastings? What's the name? Hamilton.
Hamilton?
Okay, yeah.
But we not try a restaurant at the moment. This is our first one and we are very excited to eat something with kiwi. No, it's just...
Sorry.
No problem. I think this is a crazy fruit to do
I use a lot of, when it's in season, we use Fijo.
What's Fijo?
Fijo is quite... I might have one out the front, I'll show you. A very unique flavour. Oh.
It's close.
Yeah, Chase.
Okay.
Sorry. Wasn't looking.
Sorry.
You can go around.
It's okay.
Sorry.
No problem.
I might have one out the front, I'll get it for you, but... it's a bit like a kiwi fruit in the sense that it's a green, round... Looks very similar on the outside.
It's not a fig.
But a huge perfume. No.
Okay.
No. I think I've got one. They're not ready yet, but for some reason there's a little tree out the front that's got some fruit on it. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, this might be the last one. Have you seen that?
No.
So traditionally it's South American. Yeah. You can bite into it or cut it open. Oh, I it's not quite there. I was just hoping you might get that flavour because it's very unique. If you want to try. It's quite often considered, a lot of people who come here go, what is that? And are interested in it or want to try it. I guess it's in South America and other places in the world, but a lot of people consider it one of ours. So it might be a bit unripe to get it fully, but
yeah,
huge perfume, sort of, but not quite yet.
Lovely.
Anyway,
thank you very much.
So you're going back to see Jackie for a tasting?
Yeah.
I'll take you over.
Thank you very much. It was very interesting to hunt with you.
I wish we had longer,
but... Yeah, it was fantastic.
Nun noch eine kleine Abmoderation von mir. Outtakes kann ich euch leider nicht anbieten, weil... da gab es einfach nichts, was outzutaken war. Ich möchte mich nochmal ganz herzlich bei Felix bedanken, der uns von unserer Wunschliste von Amazon ein neues Shownotes-Heft gekauft hat. Das heißt, wir können jetzt wieder voll durchstarten mit Shownotes in einem Buch. Ja, vielen Dank dafür. Das hat mich wahnsinnig gefreut. Wenn ihr mal gucken wollt, womit ihr uns eine Freude machen könnt, guckt einfach mal auf unseren Amazon-Wunschlisten von Martin und auch vom Sven. Ansonsten flattert uns durch oder kauft einfach über unseren Amazon-Link euch was Schönes. Davon haben wir eigentlich auch immer was gehabt. Und ja, vielen Dank, macht's gut und lecker, wie der Sven sagen würde. Ciao!